News Radio KMAN in Focus continues here on a Tuesday. We're chatting here with city officials, City Manager Ron Fear, Mayor Ushiretti, and Mayor Pro Tem Wynn Butler. City Commission meets at 7 o'clock tonight, and you know, I'll give each of the commissioners a chance to respond here to the comments here made by City Manager Fear, and kind of whether if you guys feel the same way here about how the finances are looking. And Mayor, you want to start first? Mayor Reddy?
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, Ron explained it pretty well. I think one of the things he did during the summer months when we cut the programs immediately was a very difficult decision, but necessary at that time. And unfortunately, most of the communities are in the same situation as ours. Online sales tax has helped us tremendously. So I hope that continues. And I think our business sector, as far as restaurants and the hospitality industry, is being challenged, and is they've had less revenue than ever in the past, I believe. But I think that's where the stimulus money is trying to focus on, is some of those hospitality industries. And hopefully that helps them throughout this entire phase, because it's not just Manhattan. It's just all of the United States is suffering in that hospitality case. And you heard Jesse speak about our airport numbers. So we're down to like 30,000, and that's a dramatic decrease. But once again, nobody's flying anywhere. And we're hoping that whatever happens with the vaccine rollout and everything else, that's when people are going to probably start going out a little bit more. On the flip side, one of the silver linings is, as restaurants and everybody pivoted to a different type of business model, we saw a lot more accommodations for curbside and online and delivery and such. So those business models are even changing and shifting to be more accommodating, where there wasn't a need for that before. There's more of a web presence now, more electronics being used, how to use technology more efficiently. So we're still in that process of learning. But I think I feel optimistic that hopefully by the summer, and maybe even by the end of the year, our numbers will be much better as far as our revenue and getting people back into restaurants and some of those venues. But again, it depends on where our positive cases go and hospitalizations, and we're still need to keep an eye on that trend line and where K-State goes and what Fort Riley does as well. And USD 383 went to 5 days a week this year, this week. So we'll see if things like that keep going, parents can go back to work more confidently, and then things can have some kind of stability. But there's just so many factors that play into our revenue resources.
All right. Mr. Butler, do you want to respond at all? And kind of how do you feel about the current state of the finances?
Well, I think, you know, the sales tax revenue came in much better than expected. And so that tells me that we probably don't need to be as draconian on closing programs. A lot of people are out there concerned we're not going to have the pools open this year, or maybe only one of them. And I think our outlook should be very optimistic that with the vaccine rollout, we need to get the city open back up. We need to get the restaurants open. And we need to save the small businesses, because the idea that, you know, we're going to stay, closed down like we are now all the way through the summer is, to me, crazy. It's time to get moving.
All right. We have a phone call and someone with a question or a comment. So let's get to them. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Thank you very much for all of your efforts. Having property, paying taxes, being concerned of where the money goes. I know you have the big responsibilities of our fire equipment, and the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the ambulance equipment, and the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And my goodness, you get into the millions with the new radio system and with the police training on using the firearms. But we're using that tool of the firearm for their ability to put that bullet between our eyes, where they also need more training of when not to pull that tool out, use the other tools that they have, especially now that the police activities are hidden behind the digital-sized encrypted radio system, where all the years we used to listen to the activities of the police department, and now the news people can't even listen. 15 years ago when I came here, it was so bad I had to turn my police radio off so I wouldn't hear that anymore. But it's good to share the information around, just as we appreciate your efforts on spending the money or not spending the money. We also want to be able to appreciate the efforts of the police department in the activities they have with society. Thank you so much for considering more training.
All right, thank you for the call. I think what he's getting at is more of a county issue here, but if you guys want to respond to any of that, you can.
Well, actually, that'd be a law board issue. I mean, they set policy for RCPD, and operations come through there. But I think RCPD's got a pretty good handle on training. You know, they got a new range. I think they pay attention. They do good. They had a shooting a few months ago. They've done a great after action review to look at what took place. And I think we've got a good system. I've served on the law board on two different occasions, and I'm pretty happy with what RCPD is doing. And we've got a great director.
All right.
Yeah. Let me just add a couple of sentences to that. I think, law board does decide the policies on that. And I think not just the shooting range and all of this, but also, Director Butler has been very good about having liaisons with the Flint Hills Human Rights Project, with the African-American community, and with the university community, and our rural areas in our county. So I think they try to have a presence and keep those relationships ongoing and the communication line open. So if you have any suggestions, I highly recommend that you email law board members or Director Butler, and I'm pretty sure they will listen, and you'll get some kind of a response.
I would just add that their certification program as a certified agency is a really good indicator of the broad training that they do provide and their officers receive. And that's certainly a good mark that I think folks could be proud of, that they are doing substantial training efforts in order to be a certified agency.
All right. Speaking of the law board, while we're on that subject here, I understand. So Mr. Butler served on the law board here this past year. This year it will be Linda Morris, who's actually currently on the law board, I believe in another status. But any other appointments here that you guys will be serving on here in 2021 that we haven't discussed yet previously?
Yeah, see, sometimes people get confused on the law board. What happens is every 2 years, there's a little bit of a rotation. We had two commissioners on last time, and this time the county will have two.
Gotcha.
Because there's seven members of the law board. One's always the county attorney, and then three are commissioners. It's either two city or two county, and then three by statute are supposed to be citizens. And that's been the case the past few times around, which I think is a great improvement.
And that alternating position goes back to originally the mayor of Ogden. Was on the law board as a placeholder back when the Big Red One moved to Germany in the mid-90s. The headquarters moved out. Ogden faced quite a few financial challenges, as did the region, with a reduction. And so the statutes were changed and the representation was changed so that would still be an elected officials, but every other appointment schedule or every other 2 years that would rotate between a county elected official and a city elected official.
You see, and prior to that, I think the Ogden guys actually helped pay for the police department.
They did, 3%.
Yeah, and that's no longer the case. It's, it's 80%, the city and 20% the county.
Right.
But since the city taxpayers also live in the county, they pay both. So the majority of RCPD is paid for by citizens of Manhattan.
The law board members from the city are Linda Morris and B. Stoney were reappointed, and Pat Hudgens is the new appointment from the city. From the county, I believe it's going to be Commissioner Ford, County Commissioner-elect Catherine Folke, and I believe Bob Ward. So there'll be, I think, three or four new people on there this time. But it's, they get reinstated here in the next couple of weeks, I believe.
And someone messaged me, I think yesterday, and is this the first time the law board's had four women on the board?
Yeah, this is the first time it'll have four women on it. That's even cool. Before it was the first time it'll have three, but now that Catherine's on there, it'll be four.
Okay. That's pretty significant. That's good to see that kind of diversity represented here on the board here from our community. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's get into the agenda here when we come back on News Radio KMAN. We do have a meeting tonight, 7 p.m., and we'll talk about that next on KMAN.